state of California has been basically quarantined. An order has been in place for shelter in place, meaning that they're asking for all residents to stay in their homes unless it is completely necessary to go out to buy food and supplies and things of that nature. So many questions have come to mind about what about the church? And so with that in mind, just for a moment, and on the subject matter, the building has been shut down, but not the church. There's a very familiar passage that that I grew up with and that many of you probably know by heart, and that is coming from John chapter 14, verse 1, where it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Those are encouraging words that Jesus gave to his disciples as he was approaching his passion, as he was approaching the cross, and he wanted to encourage them and prepare them and to let them know that he has already prepared them for a great storm that they didn't even know was about to happen. And so in the minds of many believers, Christianity today answered a question that is on the minds of most of us. It says, how can the church be the church if we don't meet because of the coronavirus? Well, they go on to say that we still have the ability to be the church for the local and universal community by continuing to love, give, and to serve each other. The truth is, the church has always been and will always be the people of God. Whether we're in a building or without a building, whether we're on lockdown or when the lockdown has been lifted, the church is and will always remain to be the people of God. Jesus had prepared his disciples for many storms, and this particular storm, he's preparing them for his exit on this world. He's preparing them for his passion. He's preparing them for the brutal death that he's about to suffer on the cross. And they could not foresee this. They didn't even know that they had been prepared for this storm. And in life, it is inevitable that we're all going to have storms. It is inevitable that we're going to have a storm or many storms in our life. Some are small, some are great, some are of great power, just like this particular storm that the world finds themselves currently going through, which is called the coronavirus. It has caught all of us by storm and by surprise. Many of us don't know what to do. Many of us are lining up each morning before the stores open simply to buy supplies that we used to take for granted. I remember growing up in school, in elementary school, there was an alarm that went off every morning. It was a loud sound of an alarm. And when you were in the classroom, if this alarm went off, it was instructed by the teachers to every student to get up under their desk and to take cover. If you were outside and this alarm came off, we simply stopped where we were, got on the ground, and placed our hands over our head because there was a warning sound. They were preparing us for what could have taken place. That is the bomb that the Russians were pointing towards the U.S. And just like they prepared us then, Jesus is preparing his disciples for a tremendous storm that is about to take them by surprise. And this storm that when it happens, they will scatter. They will put themselves on quarantine. They'll be on shelter in place because they will be fearing for their lives. Because once their master has been murdered, then they will fear their own lives and they will scatter and be on lockdown. And just like the world today, we are finding ourselves on lockdown. As the governor has said, California is to be shelter in place. And so now we are in our place, a home. We're no longer on Sunday morning going to our place of worship, going to the place that we have once considered a safe refuge in our comfort zone. But the truth is, sometimes we have to be removed from our comfort zone. And this storm has removed us all from our comfort zone. And who would ever thought just a couple of weeks ago that a mandate said the churches can no longer meet because the crowds are too great and they're trying to control the spread of this virus. And the best way to control it is to keep people from people. And so here we are, living stone, we're on lockdown. Here we are, living stone, that we're not able to meet as we have met in this place and on this ground for some 70 years of worshiping God together as a people. And now here we are in 2020, looking at a different storm from a different perspective, but realizing just as what Jesus told his disciples, that he has prepared them for such a time as this. Let me encourage you to say that because of your faith, because of your worship and your praise, he has prepared us for such a time as this. Although although California is very comfortable with preparing for an earthquake, California has never prepared for a quarantine. We prepared for things that would shake the grounds, but not shake our very foundations of our faith, meaning that if we are not in the place of worship, do we still find it necessary to worship? Just because you don't go to the place of God, does that mean you stop calling on God? Here in our text, Jesus' hour is quickly coming near for the disciples. He is drawing near to him. The disciples don't know that they have been prepared, but yet they are prepared because Jesus himself has been with them. They have been with him some 3 years now, watching whatever he did. When he went somewhere, they went with him. When he did something, they watched him. When he healed, they watched him feed 5,000 plus. They watched him heal many. They watched him raise the dead. And now he says, you are ready. Many times he said in the past that my hour has not yet come, but now he's telling the disciples, my time and my hour is at hand. Calvary is what I see. That's why I came. I came for this particular storm, but this storm, you would think the disciples would begin to care for Jesus, to begin to comfort him and let him know that things would be okay, but yet it was the other way around. Jesus found himself in the midst of his storm comforting the disciples because of the storm that they have yet to face. And here we are in 2020 facing the coronavirus, facing panic, and facing the fact that people are trying to gouge and get for themselves and no longer caring for one another. But Jesus said, remember what I have told you. Remember what I have showed you. You still belong to me. You are still my church, whether you are meeting in your normal place of worship or not. You still belong to me. On one occasion, Peter says, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. All we have, it's you. Their lives as they once knew it was completely different now, or will be completely different. They were once fishers who went to fish for fish, but Jesus says, you are no longer fish for fish, but you are now fish for men. Their lives are now revolved around Jesus, and for the past 3 years, all they know is Jesus. And now, as he's about to leave, he's letting them know that the same Jesus who was with you physically will still be with you, and that you need to take heart. They never imagined a life that a Jesus did not exist. They never thought about a dead Jesus in their mind, but yet here they are. The world-famous song that most of us now know, It Is Well With My Soul, was written by Horatio Spafford. And this hymn was written during a traumatic time in his life. The first were two deaths, the death of his four-year-old son and the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. He was a successful lawyer who had invested significantly in the property in the area surrounding Chicago, but the fire ruined him and took everything that he had of value from him. And so as he began to prepare, he sent his family to Europe, and as they went on this ship, he decided to stay back that he might finish some financial business. And as the family went, word came back to him that there had been a crash on the sea, that two vessels had hit, and all four remaining children that he had been killed, and his wife had survived alone. And as he prepared to go meet his grieving wife, and the word came to him, and many people asked him, how are you? How are you? He then began to reflect on his faith, and he wrote the now famous words, it is well with my soul. As we're now on shelter in place, and as we're on lockdown, and we're wondering what's going to happen, and people are fearing for their lives. You walk outside, you see people wearing masks, you see people that are cleaning their hands, and we're wondering what is going to happen. The most important thing to know that if you know God, if you know Jesus, you can still say, like Maffer said, that it is well with my soul. There was an occasion that the disciples were out on the lake, and there was a great storm that had came on them, and they didn't understand what was going to happen, but one thing that did happen that calmed them down was that they saw Jesus in the midst of their storm. And so it is imperative that the people of God continue to focus on the one thing that can bring them calmness, the one thing that can bring them peace, that is your faith in Jesus and him alone. Then you will be able to say in the midst of your storm that it is well with my soul. I know that we're on lockdown, but it's well with my soul. I know that people are dying, and I know that they don't have a containment for this virus, but because I know who he is, I have the peace of mind and the comfort to know that it is well with my soul. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says that as he traveled out on Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples a very important question. He says, who do the people say that I am? And they began to say, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah or one of the other prophets. But then he stopped and asked the most important question. He says, but who do you say that I am? Because that is the question that would make sure that you are either calm in the midst of the storm or that you panic in the midst of this storm. When you can ask your question, you can answer the question that Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of this struggle, answer the question, who do you say he is? And based off of your answer, to determine how you respond to this particular storm. This was a huge storm. They never thought it coming. It appeared that Jesus himself had forsaken them after his death on the cross because they scattered. They were in different places. They were in fear for their lives, and they felt like children who had been abandoned by their parents. But they had to remember the words that he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why is that significant? He says, and none of them had an issue of atheism. None of them had an issue of believing in God. All of them believed in God. He says, just as though you believe in God and you have believed in him all your life, believe also in me. Because on another occasion, he said, me and my Father are one. If you believe in God, believe in me. And if you believe in me, understand that there is no storm that you can face that I cannot come. On one occasion, when Jesus came out from the boat and the disciples were panicking, he looked at the winds and he looked at the sea and he said, peace, be still. And the disciples looked at one another and they marveled and said, what kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea must obey his command? Understand that even this virus must obey the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is nothing too difficult for him to do. There is nothing that he cannot do. He is our Lord and Savior, and he tells his people today, whether you are in place or out of place, whether you're on lockdown or not, understand that I am still God, and I will always be God, and my church is still the church. Just because you're not meeting physically does not mean you're no longer my church. Take heart in the fact that you are my church, and if you're my people, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That does not mean that it will not be fashioned. That does not mean that it won't create a weapon. They won't create a virus. But he says, take heart that if you belong to me, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's important now, church, that as these times seem to be troubling, it is important now that we pray harder than we've ever prayed before. It is important that we praise more than we've ever praised before, that we worship more than we've ever worshiped before, because your faith is predicated out of how do you handle a storm. When the storms of life hit you, how do you worship? Do you worship? How do you pray? Do you pray? How do you praise God if you still praise God? But if you praise him in the midst of a storm, you can praise him when things are good. We have an anthem that we say here every Sunday morning, and we say it with our hearts, and we have memorized it, but now is the time to let that come into practice. We say Psalms 34, verses 1, 2, and 3, that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast to the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Right now is one of those times that we got to bless his name. Right now is one of those times that we have to continue to worship God like we have never done before, because the world is looking at the church to see how the church is going to respond. And if the church is responding like the world, then we're in trouble. But if the church is responding like we belong to God and that we know God, then the world can take comfort in knowing the fact that they know God and they got comfort and peace in God, then I can have comfort and peace in that God. So church, now's the time to not be troubled. Now is the time to keep your worship flowing. Now is the time to get on the phones and pray with your brothers and your sisters. Now is the time to not stop giving, but continue to give, continue to praise, continue to believe that one day, and we don't know when that day is, but one day we'll come together as a family again. And it'll resemble the upper room when all 120 were then. And the Bible says when they became on one accord, when they had the same thinking, when they were all praising God at the same time, that the word says that there was a flood and a wind that flooded that room like never before. And the Spirit of God came in and he sat down on each and every one of them. And I can imagine that one day when this when this thing has been lifted, and when this shelter in place has been lifted, and we gather again as a body again, and we come in on one accord, and we begin to worship God, and we remember the words that Jesus told his disciples, that let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And went on to say that in my Father's house are many mansions, whether it is a mansion or whether it is a dwelling place. One thing I know for sure is that he's prepared a place for me. And the idea behind preparing a place for you, it's not that he's going to prepare, because he's already prepared a place for you. But the idea is that he's on his way to Calvary, and Calvary is preparing the way for all of us, that even in the midst of his passion, he says, take heart, because I'm preparing a place for you, that where I am, you will always be with me. So Livingstone, don't panic, don't trip, don't get discouraged, don't think it is over, don't feel like you have been abandoned. Understand that God himself has never left you, nor will he ever leave you. He says, take heart. Don't get troubled like everybody else, but stand firm on the fact that you know who I am. He says, you know me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. Although the building as we know it is empty, the church as we know it is full. It is full across the Antelope Valley. It is full across California. It is full across the entire world, because the world today is praying like never before. Just like it happened on September 11th, 9/11, when we were attacked in this country. This country prayed like it had never prayed before. But now, years and years later, here is another attack on us, and this one is worldwide. It is called the coronavirus. But in the midst of this virus, we're taking heart the fact that God is still who he said he is. God is still very much in control. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, and there is only one way to him, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. So Livingstone, let's pray like we've never prayed before. Let's worship like we've never worshiped before. Let's love each other like we've never loved before. Let's take care of each other like we've never taken care of each other before. And when it's all said and done, God himself would be in the midst of our worship, in the midst of our praise, and he would elevate his church like he's never done before, that the world may see us, and they will see that God is exactly who he said he is. So finally, the building has been shut down, but not the church. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Understand that the church is still the church, and it would never cease to be in the church. But it's important and it is imperative that we do what we have all claimed that we're going to do, that we will bless the Lord at all times. Bless him today like you've never blessed him before. Love him today like you've never loved him before. Pray like you have never prayed before. And church, continue to give. It is important as we are no longer here physically that we continue to give, because the principle still applies that if you give, he'll give back to you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So I'm encouraging us, continue to be the church that he called us to be. Continue to be that beacon in the Antelope Valley that he has called us to be. And when all of this is said and done, Livingstone would do what he's always done, would stand in the midst of this valley as one of the churches that God himself has planted here, to make a difference in this valley and to make a difference in the lives of everyone here. So I encourage you, Livingstone, let's pray. I encourage you, Livingstone, let's worship. I encourage you, Livingstone, let's give. And let's do it as we're doing it unto the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for who you are and for your word and for your, God, for your presence. God, even in the midst of this storm, God, we can feel your presence. God, we know there is no one like you, and we know that this storm did not catch you off guard, but God, you were prepared for it even before we knew what a coronavirus was. And God, I know that you see the ending even now, even though we cannot see it, but God, we trust in you. Our hope is in you like never before. God, we have faith that you will protect us, because you said no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Praying, God, that you protect our elderly, protect our young ones, dear God, protect those that are sick, God, that this virus will not come upon them to harm them. But God, cover your church like never before, that your church may stand tall and worship you like never before. And then when all is said and done, we still proclaim the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, again, I ask that Livingstone that you continue to give right now. You can log online, and through our PayPal system, you can give online. And for those who are not familiar or not comfortable with giving online, you can still write a check. You can place it in the mail, or you can bring it to the church. But I'm encouraging you to continue to give. We're looking for more opportunities or more ways that would make it easier for us to give in the midst of this crisis. But until then, continue to give like you've always done. Even though you're not here, write that check and send it in the mail or bring it up to the church. Log online. It's very simple to do so and give through our PayPal system that the church, as you know, it will continue to be the church even long after this pandemic, this coronavirus that has captured this world.